The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind these enemy lines known as USA Inc. Today's date is July the 22nd, 2016. It is a Friday afternoon. Was not on air yesterday. First, let me just go ahead and say this off top. Thank you for suffering through our outage for a little over 24 hours. The second time ever, our radio server gotten taken down by, let's just say people with ill intent, And so it's back online, and we apologize for that disruption in service. I was not on air yesterday with this program because I was looking into what our budget can afford in terms of providing more security for the site, even though that has not, well, I should say the radio streams. The sites were not, the platforms were not affected, just the radio streams were affected. So that's what I was working on yesterday. So for those that was looking for this program at its regularly scheduled time on Thursdays, which is 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, and I was not on air, I apologize for that. We will be talking with Brother Kwabena Rasuli here in just a bit. He's with Clear the Airways Project. As he's a regular, you might as well say he's a regular Black Talk Radio News contributor, especially focused on the area in providing a solution for our community in terms of violence and the promotion of negative behavior, and how we can use the radio stations and should be using the radio stations in our local community to promote positive behavior. But that's not what is happening. And if y'all missed our interview with Paul Porter, when was that, Tuesday, when we spoke with Mr. Porter? Please check that out, as he spoke about Ricky Smiley, talking about the right for Black Lives Matter to protest these police killings and what have you. But then when you get through speaking in the break, the outro break, or the segue break music, background music that you're using is promoting violence and all kind of other behavior against, blacks, against other black people and other people in period. Is that the kind of values we say we stand for, values and what have you? But we're not standing up against, the promotion of filth in our communities. It's like it's too big of a task. They got too much power, so we don't do it. You know, people come up with various reasons. So we'll be speaking with Brother Kwabena about Clear the Airways Project, about their upcoming events, any past events that they have participated in trying to clear the airways of the filth that is affecting the people where they are, you know, demonstrating locally. So we'll be talking to him. But before I get Brother Kwabena on the line, let me quickly go through this. And I also apologize for being late coming on air today. Still having some little bugs and issues that still got to be straightened out, even though we got our server back online. I was having trouble getting logged in to start the program. But after I speak with Brother Kwabena, HB Bill 2, y'all know it. It's been promoted as the bathroom law and what have you. And we've had media partners and what have you have the discussion on it. And people, you know, talking, saying, you know, expressing themselves, saying, no, I don't think that, you know, grown men in tights or grown men in skirts and wigs and pretending to be women, or if they really believe that's what they are, but being able to access a public restroom with my 6-year-old daughter or my 12-year-old daughter, you know, look, if you're relying on a law to protect your children, then you should just give your children up to somebody else who is better prepared to protect their children, because laws provide for punishment after the fact. So, you know, you may not see your child again. And then that's just a red herring, because, you know, human traffickers use real women to kidnap and lure children. So, you know, let's just be honest about it. But, you know, white supremacists are very good at confusing people, and they know collectively you can get people from all different kind of classifications and groups who universally agree on whatever, you know, hate, if it's based on hate, if it's based on ignorance, whatever is based on, for some reason, you can get people from different groups to agree to legislation that targets gays and what have you. And the white supremacists was banking on this, and the media, even, you know, they playing a role in, you know, that the opposition is only focused on the bathroom portion, when the rest of it, I mean, oh my God, it discriminates against women. People, you talking about protecting your daughter from some stranger in a dress in the bathroom, but this bill, which has many different laws and nullifies a lot of state law here in North Carolina, allows them to fire your daughter from her job based on her sex, allows them to fire you from your job for being a Muslim or being a Christian, you know, because atheists own businesses too. And if you're in the break room passing out, you know, Christian tracts and those little cartoon booklets and what have you, you know, you're doing it on during your break or whatnot. But that atheist said that's his business, that's his property. He don't want you being a part of his business to be spreading your little cartoon tracts in the break room, so he firing you. It removes all religious protections that's in the North Carolina Constitution. And of course, we got to review the Constitution. So that, I mean, but it allows for one of the representatives by the name, his last name is Bishop. He was forced to admit in committee when they was discussing HB2 and all the different proponents of it. He admitted that his intent was to allow businesses and employers to discriminate against people based on skin color. He was then also forced to admit this on the House floor of the state legislature. So I was like listening to sports talk radio earlier today, because I do that sometimes to get a break, you know, from politics and the other people activity areas that's kind of stressful, you know, to monitor and report on. So I listen to sports, but they were talking about the HB2 bill, because the NBA decided to move the Charlotte All-Star game. It was going to be held in Charlotte, North Carolina, the NBA All-Star game, which is worth to the local economy over a 3-day period upwards of $100 million. That's a lot of money. But this right-wing dude, I'm going to call him out, Frank Garcia, on the local radio station, WFNZ.com. I always suspected he was a Republican and whatnot, you know, just from listening to that station throughout the years. This man basically was like providing a whole bunch of disinformation about this bill, saying it was no big deal that the NBA is now moving this game to New Orleans, which somebody did rightly point out that Louisiana has some of the most anti-human being legislation out there. You know, they're number one in slave catching in the world. You know, so and it does add, you know, you have to ask PayPal, you have to ask the NBA, you know, well, what about these others? Why, when these Republicans pass voter ID laws in states like North Carolina, where there is no voter fraud, virtually none, five cases that's kind of shaky to begin with out of millions of votes cast, and you want to pass a law, and then you admit it to John Daly's on his little comedy show that he's retired from now, you admitted that you was doing this to target people who normally vote for Democrats, and for whatever reason, black people classified as black tend to vote for Democrats in the state of North Carolina, and they admitted it. It's race based, but we are so focused. The media wants you just focused on the bathroom portion of the bill, because they know that your religious beliefs kind of lend you towards discrimination against homosexuals or whatnot. And then, you know, even legitimate concerns, because men have dressed up in dresses, put on wigs, and taking cameras into these bathrooms and putting it on the internet and stuff. So there's real concern about that. We see people getting arrested for that very thing. But again, don't put it on the children, because you should not, as a parent, be allowing any child that can't fend off an attacker and scream for help with you standing right outside the door. You know, no child should be going into a public restroom by themselves. And again, women help kidnap these kids. So again, but that's what they got you focused on. But they can also, here in the state, I mean, they just really... I doubt if this bill will stand up to the North Carolina Constitution, which is supposed to be the supreme law of the land here in North Carolina. This HB2 bill violates all of it, so much of it. So we'll be taking a look at that, because this is very, very serious. And see, this is one of the pros and cons of voting versus non-voting. You say the system is rigged. We know that. We can see that. We can see stolen elections and things of that nature. But then when we see these legislatures, because we, you know, again, it's on us. If we're going to vote, it is also on us to make sure that we have transparency and integrity in the voting process. The evidence, the preponderance of evidence showed that's not the case. That we don't have, you know, the voting process is rigged. You can make arguments from either side of the aisle. If we being honest, we have to, you know, acknowledge that. But then, you know, when we just stand back and go along with this, because hell, you funding them whether you vote or not. They taking your taxes, and by you willingly, passively, however you want to say, paying taxes to these racist white supremacists, this system, well, you're giving consent to it too, whether you vote or not. That's your money, fruits of your labor. So it's a conundrum. What do we do? Because when they keep passing these laws, don't think that these employers, these racists, won't act on it. Some may, some may not. But this is a masterful job at updating the slave codes, specifically targeting people. I mean, if you're a woman, you should be outraged at this. But most of the LGBT organizations, especially the so-called human rights whatever their name is, the Human Rights Action Committee, whatever it is, it's the number one that fight organization that fights on the issue of gays, but they ain't bringing up this other stuff. But they want these other people to ally with them on the cause when they're ignoring and often have been accused of practicing racism within the homosexual community to begin with. But that just tells you, though, when you have those large organizations and they're not even talking about how this bill discriminates against women, how it discriminates against people based on skin color, and that can be anyone, they could discriminate you against you based on your religion, based on your national origin. So any immigrants that come over here, it is just horrible. This is like, man, this is a very anti-human, anti-freedom, anti-liberty, whatever labels and buzzwords we can think of that's supposed to be about justice what do you do? So I'm gonna put that question out there. What do we do? But I gotta educate you, because you don't know, and it's not, you know, I'm not, it is incumbent upon each individual to seek out information and to, if they're going to form an opinion on any public discussion that is being generated by the buzz of the media, you are, as a individual, should hold yourself to make sure you are fully informed and that you aren't just being fed half the facts, just a sliver of this massive piece of legislation that is probably some of the most racist, white supremacist, you know, legislation or update to the slave codes probably since the 1800s. Man. And it pains me to hear black people or anyone who is a target of this bill to allow themselves to be manipulated and outmaneuvered by racists and getting you to focus just on gays and whatever you got against the lifestyle of homosexuality or whatever. However you deal with that with your personal belief system, your religious belief system. But I believe in a system of justice where, you know, I can disagree with another person, but, you know, I'm not going to stand by while anyone's mistreated. Because I don't want anybody to stand by while I'm being mistreated. So, you know, there are other ways to have that discussion without passing laws. But then this also shows the mindset of the white supremacists. You can say, as a black person, it made me think about this. I don't want the civil rights or black people being mixed in with the gay rights issues and the comparisons and all of that. And you can come up with some valid arguments and reasons why you don't want that. All right. Okay. But it don't matter how you think, it's how the white supremacists think. And the white supremacists put you in the same classification of how he hates gays or homosexuals. The Nazis was like that. Don't like you cause you hate you cause you a liberal or you a progressive or anything but what they are. They hate you cause your religious beliefs and what have you. And they letting you know it through this legislation that all of y'all, the gays, the blacks, the Jews, the Muslims, everybody is hated by the white supremacists. Don't matter if you want to align, you all group together. So anyway, I'm kind of late. Let me get Brother Quabana on the line. I hope he, let me see. Let me also give out the telephone number. The telephone number, if you would like to get expressing an opinion as I read from,
hey, what's up, Scotty?
Hey, Brother Quabana. Apologies for my lateness, man. We had some technical issues, and I'm kind of fired up about some issues that's going here locally in North Carolina. So apologies for my lateness, man, but thank you for picking up the call.
Oh, man. No problem. How are things?
Things is kind of drastic down here in North Carolina, man, as you look through this House Bill number 2, man. I mean, it just really just strips everyone of any kind of protection from discrimination, whether it is women, whether it's girls, boys, whatever. It basically just
gives the All-Star game.
Yeah, they pulled the All-Star game, and that's what got me hot about it, was listening to this dude in sports talk radio talk about mob rule, what happened to mob rule. He didn't say mob rule, but he was like, what happened to majority rule? You know, because he's in favor of this bill, but just because of the bathroom portion and being an ignorant, stupid jock, you know, and not doing research on who else it discriminates against, you know, he talking, you know what I'm saying, and just being ignorant and spreading disinformation. And then the rednecks got to call in and the racists got to call in and agree. But then when we look at this bill, when we look at the work of the executive director of the North Carolina Justice Center, this just allows for wholesale discrimination against everybody, and it impacts all 9 people activity areas. All 9 areas. So, I mean, it's just, man, in different parts of the country, we are under a lot of different attacks and pressure. And it's not letting up. In fact, they're just, you know, updating their slave codes. So, what comes next? But listen, I called you, you know, to bring you on to talk about, you know, your resistance to the system and how it programs our youth and anybody else who listens to these radio stations, programs them to be agents of the system. Because if you're destroying your community, then you might as well be an agent of the enemy, and the enemy's programming you to be one. And I don't know if you checked out the interview or heard the interview we did with Paul Porter, but you know, he put Ricky Smiley on blast for his hypocrisy.
Yeah, he needs to be put on blast. That was a good thing to do. I did get a chance to listen to the podcast of that interview and shared it on the Clear the Airways page and my personal page and several other pages. And it is something that everybody must listen to, because Brother Paul, who's been in the industry, hits it on the head. He knows what he's talking about. He knows the games. He knows that it's orchestrated and it's done for a reason. He knows the effects of playing these songs multiple times during the day, giving them 15, 20 spins a day. And it was like that in 2 radio stations in the Chicago area. You get what you get. I, for one, monitor these stations. I hate to say listen, but I monitor them. I monitor Ricky Sicky. I call him Sicky Smiley. I monitor his show almost every morning. And like Paul noted and was checked, like his friend shared with him, it is ridiculous for him to be talking at this time, because all this stuff is coming to the light even more so during this concentrated period of time with the 2 murders of Philando Castile and our brother in Baton Rouge, and the shooting of the police in Baton Rouge in Dallas. Boom, he wants to have a town hall. And then you play a song that talks about killing people. A song that drops in bombs. And so, yeah, he was good. It was good to be called out on that hypocrisy. And for his reaction was ridiculous. But, yeah, people, please, check that podcast out with Brother Paul Porter and yourself. Excellent interview. And it needs to be shared. Because, man, you know, in Chicago, we're up to 11 people a day getting shot. And we have we share on our page a link to a site that tells you what neighborhoods and the ages of the people are getting shot. And if anybody who knows anything about Chicago and knows those neighborhoods, they are practically just about all of them are in areas where Africans live. And so it's fratricidal is taking place in Chicago, and it's promoted and pushed by these radio stations. And so, yeah, I mean, the evidence is clearly there. And so, you know, we got to put in that work, man, to make that change and make it obvious. Because with the 4-year-old that was shot, was a girl, 4 or 6. Anyway, that's too young. Girl sitting on her porch the other day with her mother and grandmother, gets shot in the stomach. And the mother said she didn't know. They were picked up, and they were running in the house, and the girl said, "Mommy, my tummy's hurting."
Right.
And the poor little girl was shot in the stomach.
Right.
This was due to some random shots being sprayed with these gats that are going crazy, that's promoted in this music, with these choppers that are just spread around and just shot randomly in containment areas where we live, due mainly to the fact, brother, that we've been indoctrinated and taught to hate ourselves and one of the main teachers, one of the main professors, one of the main schools in this is music, and your culture of music, and you spell it M-U-S-I-C-K, and it's pushed mainly, I know, in the Chicago area by these ratchet radio stations that are mostly European-owned, encouraging Africans to disrespect and kill each other.
You know, I want to take it back to taking personal responsibility, but, you know, because anytime we bring up the issue of slave catchers to law enforcement officers as others, but, you know, you enforcing slave codes. So anyway, you know, whenever we talk about this issue, there are those who want to then take it to the black on black crime. But every time you come on this station, when we're talking about the music that's promoting that, you are addressing so-called quote unquote black on black crime. But you listen to the critics out there, nobody's addressing this. And you know, Clear the Airways Project isn't the only group. You know, you got Rage Against the Ratchet, and you know all the other names because you work with these groups, or you're in.
We got to Do Better Now. Actually, White Do, out of Jacksonville, Florida. You know, our brother Truth Minister Paul Scott's been dealing with this. Conrad Tillage has been dealing with this for a while. And this group, C-Motap, they're out of New York. Brother James McIntosh. And we got a brother, LeGrand Clegg, and those out of the West Coast of CMOTAP, which is the Committee to Eliminate Media Offensive to African People. So, I mean, they're putting in good work. But we got to come together. We got to, and we are, because our goal with Clear the Airways is to get it off by the end of the year. And that's too long. That's too long. Dude, I heard a record on the radio station yesterday with a dude talking about, Shorty want a kiss, but I know she's sucking. Shorty want a kiss, but I know she's sucking. And anybody, and you know, they say that D word and just kind of scramble a little bit of it. Anybody with any sense knows what he's saying. And why is it on the radio at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? You know, why is it on the radio? And we file complaints with the FCC, and what do they do about it?
Right.
So, we got to continue to do that, but you know, come on, man.
Yeah, you have to continue to do that and put pressure on all avenues of, you know, because they are not even holding these radio stations to the law. People want to say law and order. Well, the law says that if you're going to play that type of adult-oriented music, it's supposed to come on after 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern and go off, I think, at 6 a.m., you know, before, you know, whenever, you know, young people are getting up to go to school, that's got to be off. Anytime mm-hmm. during the day, that's got, you can't play that. And then all the way up into the high school kids go to bed. After they go to bed, which, you know, 10 o'clock, then you can play that. But they...
And they got those times, and but see, no time, I'm seeing stuff allowed at no time. And a lot
right,
of stuff they
right.
play goes to the level of being obscene.
Right, right. So that's the government not doing its job, but you want to point to victims of violence and say, well, why aren't black people doing anything about, you know, the violence in their community? You know, not to mention that violence happens all over America and happens in American communities too frequently. But nobody wants to really use science to point at some of the causes, not all of the causes. There's various reasons for violence, but what sense does it make? That's your values that you're promoting over the airwaves. And it's while it's important also to point at the radio station, you know, and point at the whole record in, recording industry in general for producing filth, but the like you demonstrate, you know, the brothers and sisters demonstrate at the McDonald's, the local businesses, the CVS's, the car dealership. If that's what your values are when you are supporting radio stations that pump filth, so then how can you then show up in a town hall meeting, Mr. Car Dealership, and express these values and say, you know, these kids are out of control and they're got these sagging pants and they don't respect themselves, and they say the N-word, but you running a commercial on a station that promotes that. You see?
Exactly.
Brother Quabna, help them with the hypocrisy.
It's crazy, man. It's just looking like McDonald's. They got a big gospel concert coming up next week at the House of Hope in Chicago, coming up next Friday. A big gospel concert, but at the same time, we get at the Black McDonald's Association, where we demonstrated that for over a year at the first Black owned McDonald's in the entire country. When we get at them and demonstrate outside their place, or actually before we did that, try to have a conversation with them to sit down, you know, there was no response. And the response we finally got was all negative, that we were the ones who were worse than these radio stations, that they acknowledge were playing vile, vulgar, and violent music. They acknowledge that. But all you got to simply do is say, hey, call corporate, look corporate, they're demonstrating at our place. And even before that, we don't like the music that they're playing on these stations. It's telling our people to kill each other. And I'll use, we've had several killings at McDonald's. We documented during that time 4 or 5 shootings and many killings at McDonald's locations.
Wow.
This is going on.
Yeah, McDonald's, you know, being used to ambush other black people.
Yeah. Yeah, so, man, it's, I don't know. It's crazy, man, what the things that are going on.
I mean, and it's like they're providing the killers the soundtrack as they, you know, do they drive-by shootings. When you really break it down, they're providing the soundtrack to that kind of life.
They certainly are, man. There's a song called We Be in the City, Car Ain't Got No Roof. And you got to hear the lyrics that a dude's talking about where he'll shoot you in the eye, and the back, and the head. And it's, again, and you're playing that in Chicago where 11 people a day are getting shot. And I'm sure 10 of the 11 look like you and me, Scotty. And that's what you're playing. And when we have these issues, we get the preachers that get together, they go send, they go do marches and all that. And which I don't have a problem with to a certain extent. But come on, y'all. You know, we're out here telling you we got to hit these sponsors of these people, go right directly to the
right
radio fans who push this poison on our children.
Right. Boycott the car dealership. No buying cars.
Exactly.
Go, you know, no, boycott that location or that franchise of McDonald's. But, you know, McDonald's is also using prison slave labor through one of its contractors. So, and then the food's bad for you. But again, you know, for those people that want to point at the people with the least power as should be able to solve the problem, well, you know, there are people who don't have as much power as these politicians, don't have as much power as many of these organizations with millions and millions of dollars, don't have the power of the local pastor even to you know, get his congregation behind, you know, clearing the airways of filth, garbage, and whatnot, and what have you. You know, and people need to make the connection because it's science, brother. It's science.
And it's so obvious. And we spoke with some children we spoke to yesterday, and the thing was the detrimental impact of vulgar and violent music on our youth. And, man, just to listen to them and hear them talk about a lot of these issues that are going on, and to really get understood. They knew a lot of the artists. They knew the songs, but they just weren't understanding the impact that it has on them and their peers. And so we were able to break a lot of that down for them. You know, they were really thankful and there they were going to make a change and make a difference and start really examining what was happening and how this is done, because this is no different from the propaganda that was pushed to the people of Rwanda and Burundi in that area 20 years ago when we had that genocide that took place over there. It's no different when you call the people cockroaches. You're dehumanizing them. So when you take them out, so when you kill them, you don't feel bad, because who's going to shoot another human being or a brother or a man? But if you dehumanize them, like the inflicts of nothing but an N-I-G-G-A or E-R, whatever you want to call it. Oh, yeah. You know, forget that N. Or forget his mama, his little daughter. That's his flow. So they dehumanize him with this music, because 90% of the time when we listen to these radio stations, well, I'll probably say 100% of the time when our children tune into these radio stations, they're being, N-bombs are being dropped on them, just multiple N-bombs are being dropped on them per song by these yeah, ratchet radio stations. Never thought that could happen. Never thought it would happen.
But I want to talk about the response at this point, because, you know, proxy racism is a term in the framework of a racist globalist system that's practicing white supremacy, valuing like white so-called white lives above everybody else's that's classified as non-white in this system. But I developed my own term called proxy racism, you know, because I want to focus on what I can control. I can't control what another human being do or has in his heart in terms of practicing, you know, racism. But I know that I'm the majority. I belong to the majority population of melanated people, people classified as non-white, and that if, since we are in the majority, if we practice the golden rule of never helping racists, never helping white supremacists in any of their racist, genocidal operations against anyone, you know, that the system would collapse. And so this will take personal sacrifice. This will take practicing counter racism in terms of not participating in the mistreatment of other people. That means, if that means Ricky Smiley loses his job because he says, look, I just got through having a positive conversation and all this hate being directed by BLM, and I'm, you know, trying to host a town hall, and then, you know, I'm not in, he, like he told Paul, I'm not in, don't blame me, I'm not in control of the music, I don't play the music. But dude, this is your name, so let's not act like you ain't got no input or say. And if that is the program to program us to kill ourselves, why would you want to be a part of that? Why not take your name and put it on an independent network of your own creation, or partner with other black people? If that's the program, then why you want to take a paycheck from people like that? See, it comes to proxy racism. Am I willing to allow racism to be practiced through me? Am I willing to be a tool? Or if I'm a stand up for justice on the job, Ricky Smiley been doing that program for how long? And if he said, you know what, I don't want to be a part of a station that, at least during the hours that I'm on air, you will not be playing no gangster murder music, and you're going to just play gospel stuff, or you're going to play stuff that promotes positivity. Man, what do you think? You think they're going to fire him? They may fire him. But if nobody is willing to stand up and take that temporary personal hardship of losing a job and then regather themselves later, well, then how can you logically stop racism and white supremacy? It takes more people to stop going along with the racist program, and when it's more of us just, you know, practicing that as a golden rule, then it will collapse. But that's just me, you know. So these radio people that's working in radio now, even if you know, you are controlling the program list, but the station manager putting that pressure on you because the record companies is giving him money or free promotions to promote his station under the table, or however they do payola these days, then guess what? You can go find another radio station that practices justice that's not practicing injustice. Why work at a place like that? Or maybe, you know, if you talk to other people and say, you know what, it don't make sense for us. We go to church and we, you know, say we part of the community and we stand for values and all this and that, but we work at a place that's we know is key to promoting self-destruction to our people. When is somebody going to take a stand? Brother Quabner, you taking a stand. How do you make that pitch for others to take the stand, brother?
You know, yeah, man, it's what we need to do for our children. Our children have to be protected. People usually protect their children. Our children can't fend for themselves. This toxic crap that they're playing is psychologically damaging the minds of our children. I talked to one of our conscious psychologists in the area, a brother named Dr. Abari Cartman, and when we went to meet with iHeart executives Matt Scarano and Angela Ingram in March, he said, make sure you let them know the struggles that we have in replacing dealing with the indoctrination, or dealing with the damage, psychological damage that your content does to them. We need help. We need to help our children. They can't fend for themselves. It's just so sad, man, that more of us aren't seeing that. So we're going to continue to push and share every chance we get. We're going to share. We went to this jazz festival, this church. We passed out the flyers about the Clear Airways Project. There, a lot of people are like, yeah, but come on out here with us, because we need more people to put in this work, brother. And man, I did a Steve Coakley move a year ago, and this was right when I was listening to the podcast with you and Paul the other day from Industry Ears about Black Radio. And you know, Facebook gives you your history now, and so it shows 2 years ago we made it to this Clear Channel Community Awards breakfast. We snuck in there, and we got a picture of Earl Jones, who was the chief at that time, who we met with a couple years ago, who picked us out of the out of the meeting. The meeting wasn't over. He abruptly ended the meeting. But him and Jesse Jackson and some others in there shaking hands. The Mayor Emanuel was there. The governor was there. The police chief of Chicago. There's so many big wigs, so-called big shots, were in this iHeart Clear Channel breakfast where they fed you all sorts of stuff. But, you know, they worked together. So, like you said, that's why, you know, how are you going to get these so-called Tom Joyners and those who benefit from this to really speak out on this? And they know. I did put this in Jesse Jackson's hands a couple times. He knows what's going on with his music, but if you're employed by Clear Channel, by iHeart, by Radio 1, it's tough. See, it's not, they have a TV show now with TV 1. But it's up on the people. We still can't defeat them. We just got to put in that energy and do it, because no other race, and we talked about this a lot, no other race will take this. So, bro, it's a lot of work needs to be done.
No doubt, no doubt. Any upcoming events, and of course, tell people how they can contact Clear the Airways Project, perhaps even start a chapter in their town, in their city.
Yeah, we got a, we just had a demonstration last week. Actually, we almost got arrested. Police, ignorant police and girls telling us that the public sidewalk in front of McDonald's was owned by McDonald's, and we can't walk on it. Also telling us that we shouldn't be disrupting customers or disrupting people. I was like, man, this is a protest. What are you talking about? That's what you do with protests. You disrupt things. But anyway, so that didn't happen, but we had a pretty good demonstration. But, you know, we're getting together with some people and just trying to make sure the next time we have a whole bunch of people out there and maybe do something nationally, man. Because it's just, again, this goal to get it out and get it off by the end of the year is a goal that we know can happen, but we need more people working with us, brother. And we appreciate your work, man, and making sure we have a platform to share about this most important issue, because we look at all these people getting shot and killed in Chicago. That's just as an example, because it happens in so many containment areas where we struggle to survive America. But just in Chicago, and those, like I said, with those numbers, we know poverty plays a role. We know there are certain, a lot of other things that plays a role. But the main thing, because we were poor, we've been poor for a while, but the main thing is that we do not love ourselves. We have the issue of self-hate. And this music promotes hating oneself, hating one's women. It promotes it, and so we have to make a change, Brother Scotty. So yeah, man, I gotta get out of here in a little bit, man.
All right.
Doing what you do, and we headed down south to the family, hang out with the family for a family reunion this weekend. We'll be still gonna be pushing to get these airways clear.
All right, keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Peace, Brother Quabner.
All right, man, one love.
One love. All right, that was our interview with Brother Quabner. We were running a little late again, you know, with the problems we had with the radio server being taken down, and then I guess got some bugs still in the stream, but that's okay. Now, I'm going to go through real quickly when we come back on the other side of the break, all right, and I'm going to kick some Sincere Noquiry, some God Life beats from the Beat Tape Lecture Volume 1. And then when we come back, I won't get into, you know, the main topic of this HB2 bill, because there's much to be learned about the system and how they spread confusion. It's like the bait and switch, or, you know, the distraction, sleight of hand, you know, where how they even got the opponents of this bill to all even focus on just one aspect of the bill, right? And then other people not being fully informed, they know that they, you know, their religion, it says that homosexuals should be murdered and what have you. So, of course, they don't want men in dresses and tights in the bathroom with little girls and what have you. So they support the bill, and they say, you know what, I ain't got a problem against HB2. I don't think that men should be in little girls' bathrooms and whatnot, even though little girls shouldn't be in public bathrooms without adult supervision. But then they don't realize that they could even be fired by their employer for even holding that religious belief, according to HB2. Because if an atheist or you is overheard on the job expressing any kind of judo Judeo-Christian values or quoting scriptures on the Bible. And you know how some people on the job, even though it's a no-no, it's not recommended that you talk about politics and have those kind of discussions on the job, that, you know, especially if you're a non-white person, you're there to work, you're not there to solve the world's problems. All right, so with that said, that's how people get identified on the job, of their political beliefs and their religious beliefs. And HB2, if somebody's saying, well, I support HB2, well, what if that person who owns that business is secretly a gay person, a homosexual, and they hear you say that? They could legally fire you. They could make up any kind of reason. Maybe they not firing you because you black, but because you want to quote Leviticus on the job and stuff. So they fire you because of that. HB2 makes that possible for your religious beliefs. Or let's say you don't even say nothing on the job, but you attend a rally against HB2. Or you express support for LGBT issues or whatnot. They saw you on TV at this Charlotte rally. Now I'm going to fire you because, you know what I'm saying? Just pick a reason. So this is like classic masterful job at white supremacy in confusing people. But I don't want to say masterful because these people are traitors. That's why North Carolina legislature, those Republicans and anybody else who signed on to this got to go. They got to go. Why do they have to go? Because they violated their oath that they took. They swore before God. That they swore before people. They probably even put their hand on a Bible and swore to uphold the values of the North Carolina Constitution. Well, many of the things, the protections taken away from people that allows for discrimination is in direct violation of the so-called supreme law of the land, the North Carolina Constitution. See, I ain't got to make it about the federal government or the U.S. Constitution, you know, because I'm sure that's what they want you to frame, because then they could bring Barack Obama into it with the universal hatred of white people and racists against Obama. But I don't want to bring Obama in this. I live in this state. My family probably is among the oldest continuous so-called citizens in this state, even before this became a state and it was known as a colony, even before it was colonized as one of the 13. So I ain't even got to bring the federal government into it. It's about what kind of area do I want to live in? One that the state practices justice on paper, at least, and provide, or do I want to live in one where they are just outright, straight up Nazis, racist Nazis? Again, America launched the original Nazi party. So we'll go through this article that was put out by, it's called 18 Questions and 18 Answers, The Real Facts Behind House Bill Number 2. It was published by Rick Glazer, who's the executive director of the North Carolina Justice Center. It is filed under workers' rights. This was a way for them to attack workers' rights, but misdirecting people with the universal hatred of gays and make it just about the bathroom. They probably was given orders to just stress the bathroom. Don't talk about the skin color aspect. Don't talk about the gender aspect. Don't talk about the religious aspect. Don't talk about the labor aspects. Let's not talk about the educational aspects of this. Just talk about this. You know, we can unite more people and more support if we just focus on the universal hatred for gay people on whatever grounds, or dislike if hatred is too strong of a word. Tell you, man, the devil is slick with it. The devil is slick. You know, if we want to go religious, from certain religions say that the Satan is the author of all lies, man, and they good at telling lies, and they good at misdirecting you. But it's because of intellectual laziness it is because of the total failure of the so-called press, the news media, to fully inform people that, you know, the enemy is able to advance us stuff. Now, again, if this should not be able to stand up to the United States, to the North Carolina Constitution. The only thing, and I analyzed this before, the only thing that might survive a challenge to the North Carolina, you know, on constitutional grounds here in the state is the one for the bathroom. But the rest of it shouldn't stand. But know that they only focused on the bathroom because they know most people is going to focus on the bathroom and LGBT and transgender men in dresses or whatever. They knew the public was going to focus on that, and they slipped in all this other stuff that you ain't even talking about. And I blame the North Carolina ACLU. Y'all seen that black woman who was an attorney that was on The View, and she was being clowned by some of the proxy races on The View or by the ignorant people on The View because they actually couldn't understand what this woman was saying about all the other aspects. She was like saying, hey, why is the ACLU here in North Carolina just focusing on challenging the bathroom portion for LGBT men or women to, you know, forcing them to use the bathroom assigned to them that's on their birth certificate, you know? And not all this other stuff, because, I mean, don't black lives matter? Don't women's lives matter? Don't elderly lives matter? Should anybody be discriminated against and racism practiced against them and whatnot? And so, you know, she was bringing that up. And then the gay guy, Clay Aiken, y'all might have seen him on America's Got Talent or whatever it's called. And then he started running for politics here in North Carolina. And he was in the audience, and he called himself chastising that black woman for bringing up these other issues. So Clay Aikens is a racist white supremacist, because all he cares about is if he can put on a damn dress, some lipstick and a wig and some high heels, and use the bathroom because he's feeling like a woman that day. And he don't care if black people, Hispanic people, Muslims, Christians, atheists are just left with no protections in the state whatsoever in terms of employment. That's what it looks like from other people who are not gay. That's what it looks like to me. And again, this is by design, I believe. So I will come back with the work of Mr. Rick Glazier. I'm going to have to reach out to him and bring him on the program. But 18 questions, 18 answers, the real facts behind House Bill 2. You will be able to chime in with your thoughts at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. *6-1 to comment on air. But again, we're going to go ahead and kick some message music, some sincere Naquari God Life beats. We Slicing Cake, which is like the intro music for Tando Radio Show. So anyway, we'll be back on the other side. Stay tuned, because you need to know this stuff, man. You need to know the ways of the enemy, the tricks of the enemy, and how they always refining their code book. And we are so ignorant, and I'm saying, when I say we, I'm talking about everybody, is just so ignorant because they don't research. How do we stop these racists? We'll be back on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. It's happened before. In 2000, Saddam Hussein announced Iraqi oil would be traded in euros, not dollars. Sanctions and an invasion followed. Some say because the Americans were desperate to prevent OPEC from transferring oil trading in all its member countries to the euro. Not the case in places like Libya and many of the Gulf states. A gold dinar would have given oil-rich African and Middle Eastern countries the power to turn around to their energy-hungry customers and say, sorry, the price has gone up and we want gold.
The United States should welcome the self-determination of Africans. They certainly have denied self-determination to Africans inside the United States, so we're not surprised by anything that the United States would do.
If Gaddafi had an intent to try to reprice his oil or whatever else the country was selling in the global markets and accept something else as a currency or maybe launch a gold dinar currency, any move such as that would certainly not be welcomed by the power elite today who are responsible for controlling the world's central banks. So yes, that would certainly be something that would cause his immediate dismissal and the need for other reasons to be brought forth for removing him from power.
It's one of these things that you have to plan almost in secret, because as soon as you say you're going to change over from the dollar to the something else, you're going to be targeted. There were two conferences on this, one in 96 and another one in the year 2000, called the World Mataba Conference, organized by Gaddafi. And everybody was interested.
Something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs. A gold dinar would have given oil-rich African and Middle Eastern countries the power to turn around to their energy-hungry customers and say, sorry, the price has gone up and we want gold.
And our resolve is clear. The people of Libya must be protected.
Others say it's about oil. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya.
You know, you are the reason for me continuing, Dr. Anderson. And I just pray every day and I just wonder what, you know, what holds you up and what keeps you going. I know it's a wonderful wife that you have, because Dr. Joanne is just awesome. To find two people with the same type of commitment is a rarity within itself. But you know, you've been out here on the horn sounding.
All right, welcome back to Black Talk Radio News again. Scotty Reed in for this broadcast. Give me just a second as I gather up these documents. I had to print them out. I did provide a link to this information for those who are on blacktalkradionetwork.com and are on the program page for today's particular program. You'll find a link there. I'll also share that on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page and send it out to Twitter. I might even tweet at the fascist, racist sports talkcaster who I heard today spreading disinformation about this bill and calling for mob rule. I'll even tweet at him and ask him, does he want his daughter discriminated against? Oh, this is what you were supporting on the radio today, you know, to the people of Charlotte promoting this garbage and what have you. So let me grab that. And at any time, jump in if you, you know, want to ask a question or share some thoughts. All thoughts are welcome. So this is the 18 questions, 18 answers. Again, this is the work of Mr. Rick Glazier, who is the executive director of the North Carolina Justice Center. All right, so I'm just going to jump down to his numbered points. He says, does HB 2 eliminate any state law claim for wrongful termination of an employee on the basis of the color of a person's skin? Yes. The last sentence of Section 143-422.3 does so explicitly, and Representative Bishop was forced to admit that in committee and on the floor of the House. Now only Mississippi and North Carolina provide no state law remedy for any type of employment discrimination. Okay, so this guy admitted, this white supremacist admitted, I'm assuming it's a white supremacist, I hope didn't know proxy non-white person in the Republican Party introduced this bill and said these things and admitted that, you know, he was doing this to allow other races in business in the people activity area of labor and economics, allow them to just discriminate against people based on their skin color. All right. Now, point two, does HB 2 eliminate any state law claim for discrimination in the workplace on the basis of national origin or ethnicity? Yes. Here again. So if you was not born here in the United States, you immigrated here, let's say from Africa, You know, you got citizenship, you took the little class, and you pledge allegiance to the United States of America Incorporated, and you're a citizen now, and you're supposed to have all the full rights and they can just fire you if they find out that you really from Pakistan, or you really from Ghana or Senegal or anywhere, from the Bahamas, from the Virgin Islands, from anywhere. So, again, here we are. We have people who are not fully informed, who are negatively impacted by this bill, who are expressing support on it because, again, they are not fully informed because we don't have a tight. It's more, it generates more revenue for CNN and MSNBC and all the others to just, you know, focus on the bathroom portion of it, because that's just, you know, with all of this gay rights stuff and the momentum that we've been having and getting the, you know, President of the United States, the Executive Officer of USA Inc. to write executive orders and you know, that favors our rights and what have you. And so, you know, these same people who put this out there, they don't care. They not mentioning this other one, this other part of it. Now they can discriminate against you because you wasn't, quote unquote, born in America. Does HB 2, number three, does HB 2 eliminate the existing state law remedy that now protects but no longer will protect a Christian who has been terminated from their job on the basis of religion? The answer is yes. So you, the religious person that was supporting this bill because of the bathroom portion of it, you believe in Leviticus, and if man lay with man, he should be stoned and all of this. And so you ain't got nothing against these white supremacists passing this legislation. But guess what? Now you can be fired for even expressing that, putting it on your Facebook page if your employer finds out. because they do monitor, you know, that's one of the disadvantages of working on a plantation job. You can't fully express yourself in what have you. So it goes on to say, yes, on the basis of religion. Of course, you know, it's going to apply to more than just Christians, but it says yes. Statute 143-422.2 specifically states, and they put a whole bucket of words, so y'all going to have to read it for yourself, because I don't want you to take my word for it, you know, just on my word. Go read it for yourself. And it's a whole bunch of bucket of words that you know how they do to confuse people. And it does eliminate any protections for religious beliefs. Let me read some of it. This is his commentary, but they used a whole bunch of words, buckets of words, to write that particular portion of this bill. It's an interesting provision, because the next provision states, this article does not create and shall not be construed to create or support a statutory or common law private right of action, and no person may bring any civil action based upon the public policy expressed above. So essentially, the last sentence renders the first sentence impotent. A right you cannot enforce is not a right. It is a platitude. In this case, we effectively recognize the man in uniform, but then fail so much as to give him a passing salute. So this is, you know, they can, your employer can discriminate against you on the basis of your religion. I don't want you wearing that hijab. I don't want you covering your hair. I don't want you wearing that yarmulke. I think it looks funny. This is a predominantly white area, and we support white culture, the promotion of white culture. So if you can't assimilate the white culture, then you don't have no, you know, you can find some other employment. Again, I am not exaggerating, people. I'm not exaggerating. I'm reading the statutes that's in this bill. Number four, does HB2 eliminate all existing law remedies for women from being demoted, transferred, or terminated from their job because of their sex? Yes. So Frank Garcia, you know, you think it's okay for them when your daughter gets to the age to where she can hold a job, that you know, she be discriminated against on the basis of her race, of her sex? Huh? Point number five. Before HB2, did North Carolina provide any protections from discrimination in employment on access to public accommodations for LGBT citizens? No. And that's a shame, but local governments could and did. The Charlotte Ordinance being the most important example. So again, when it comes to the North Carolina Constitution, I did not see where it provided gender protections. You couldn't discriminate against a person on the basis of their gender. I will look at it again. But that gender also applies to women. So really, the North Carolina Constitution, from my reading of it, does allow for the discrimination against women if it's on gender, but then gender can apply to men. So again, in general, it just promotes discrimination. It allows for discrimination. It's number six, has HB2 overturned all existing local ordinance and protections for LGBT citizens in North Carolina and banned any communities from ever enacting any such protections again? Yes. Sections Statute 143-22.3 and 22.1 expressly do just that. So what we have here is the bigger issue of dictatorship, Riley, the state government acting like a dictatorship, the supreme authority over all the communities here in North Carolina. So, you know, and I'll get it, it does address this later, but that means if I want to pass an ordinance, the city council and the mayor the voters. There were a lot of voter support for me to pass an ordinance to raise the minimum wage to $12 an hour. Okay, this takes that power away from the municipality, from local governments. This is like, if you listen to Republicans, they are supposed to be against a strong central government dictating to everyone else how to. Ain't that, you know, they complaining about that now when Obama says and the federal government says, well, we might withhold funds from you if you don't allow children to go. And see, that's again, the Obama administration ain't bringing up this other stuff either. But they threatening to withhold funds. I hope, you know, that the NBA and anybody else that's opposed to this is expressing that they are against all forms of discrimination. But we got Riley, the state government, complaining about Obama being a dictator. And here they are being dictators. And I'm not sure if they passed the law, but any revenue that would have been generated, we're talking about upwards of $100 million to the local economy of Charlotte and surrounding, you know, adjoining areas. That's how much they lost by losing this NBA All-Star game, which is kind of messed up when Charlotte, through their government, they wanted to provide some protections. But now they're, the people of Charlotte are being punished for something the dictators in Raleigh, you know, did. And then Raleigh wants to get all the tax revenue that's mostly generated in Charlotte to redistribute the wealth. I've talked about this on the past program. Redistribute the wealth to the poorer counties all throughout the state. Not that I'm against that. The equitable distribution of tax dollars to the people who need the most help. But these Republicans are out there, they call that kind of stuff socialism or even communism, and they red bait and they talk all this garbage, and then this is what they practicing. The hypocrisy. But see, we, you know, when we are just you know, being distracted in so many different areas, man, we just don't know how they are updating the slave codes, and, you know, which seeks to make slaves of us all. Before I jump on this second page, let me check to see, we got some callers on the line, but nobody wants to ask a question or express an opinion. If you would like to do so, anyone who's listening, the dial-in number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. The studio line is open right now, 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. Through Skype, we are Black Talk Radio Network. Let me see. Jump to part two of this. I mean, it's like 3 pages long. Number 7, did HB2 overturn and eliminate all existing local authority to enact minimum wage standards for public sector contractors in their community? Yes. Section 2.1 of the bill expressly states so. All right. So, you know, that's like, man, this is crazy. They want to keep people poor. Then they want to also cut people off of public assistance like the SNAP program. This is why crime goes up. Did number 8, did HB2 overturn and eliminate all existing local enforcement and any ability to enact family leave policies, child welfare protection limits on the number of consecutive hours an employee may be required to work without a break, or health insurance standards for any contractors in their community? Yes. And the statute specifically says that. Think about that. Now, they could work you, let's say you work on a 12-hour shift, they could work you 6 hours before they give you a break, or 8 hours before they give you a break, or 10 hours and get before they give you a break. Man, No child welfare protections. Let's see. Health insurance. Family leave. And so then, you know, I was watching some. I watched Donald Trump's speech last night, but I also watched his daughter Ivanka or whatever her name. And she was talking about family leave and how in the Trump businesses, you know, family leave is important. And she talked about the discrimination against women. And obviously, you know, liberals also support family leave and whatnot. This makes family leave illegal. Man, don't I live in the worst damn state behind these enemy lines? Which isn't surprising because I know the history of this state. I know that more card-carrying, due-paying white supremacists and lowly educated racists were members of the KKK more than any other state in USA, Inc., more than anyone. These are facts. This is a historical fact. So I'm not surprised. Very strong culture of white supremacy and white terrorism in this state. Let's see. Where did I leave off? Okay. Number 9. Does HB 2 now require school systems to meet regulations on single-sex multi-occupancy bathrooms and changing facilities in direct violation of the Department of Education and other Office of Civil Rights guidance? Yes, which is precisely why the Republican governor of South Dakota vetoed similar legislation in his state just weeks ago. Number 10, does HB 2 now require, hold up, give me just a moment. Does HB 2 now require in multiple, I just read that, I'm sorry. 11, was there any credible evidence to support the theory that the Charlotte ordinance created a security risk to any person in bathrooms or locker rooms? No, and not a single credible incident or report exists from the 17 states and over 200 communities that have enacted and implemented the exact same ordinance as Charlotte. And this includes the following liberal bastions of policy in the United States: Oklahoma City, Boise, Dallas, Orlando, Indianapolis, Lexington, El Paso, Myrtle Beach, Kansas City, and Lawrence, Kansas, just to name a few. So again, the way the white supremacists confused people or threw them off of what they was really planning and plotting was to confuse people with this issue. But then they try to make it about protecting little girls from men. Again, they can pass a law. Look, it's against the law to murder someone. Do murders still happen? Of course they do, because laws, passing a law doesn't mean people aren't going to violate that law. All right? So passing a law saying if you was born a man and you still got a penis or whatever, or even if you had it chopped off but your birth certificate say male, you have to use the one in the bathroom that your birth certificate say. Now, under the guise of you know, I have not seen a whole lot of news reports where this happened, but it does occur, so let's be honest. And a lot of these men who do that are in there trying to get up the skirt or voyeuristic videos, and people have been arrested doing that, you know. So it's already existing laws where somebody doing that, you know, can be prosecuted. But then at the same time, you are shirking your responsibility as a parent to protect your little girl. You should not be allowing children, like, for example, let's use this. And we know it occurs. Let's say we're in a mall, right? And we went and got something to eat, and the children had, you know, some Big Gulps, soda, whatever they had. And so instead of, after we finish eating and we're going to go shopping, you know, instead of taking the kids to the bathroom and making them use the bathroom and everybody stay together as a group, no matter if this child is only this child is 12 years old or whatnot. But, you know, no, we will sometimes, like, you know, go to the store and the children be like, you know, the bathroom right across the hallway there. I'm going to the bathroom. And we allow these children to go unattended to these bathrooms to never be heard from again. So Don't blame it on some dude in a dress, because it could have been a female up in that bathroom that kidnapped that child. So let's not act like law passing laws is going to protect us from anybody with ill intent towards us or our children. You think that this issue is settled, that crime has been prevented by them simply passing this law? No. And it's ludicrous to think so. It's not logical. Was the Charlotte ordinance unconstitutional or exceptional in its nature and degree? No. North Carolina General Statute 160A-17A, as enhanced by Statute 160A-4, made clear Charlotte's authority to do exactly what it said, and multiple courts in many states have long held, and by that I mean for the last 50 years, that passing non-discrimination ordinance easily falls within the police power of municipalities. This was the legal opinion handed out by the Charlotte lawyers to the Charlotte City Council and municipal officials. So this is like settled case law. So these is just a bunch of racist men here in North Carolina wasting money, wasting time. I guess what? To get votes from ignorant people who don't know that this bill is so broad, it covers everyone. They could even be fired because of their religious views on homosexuality. It's just, man. Have similar and indeed less egregious laws been recently vetoed in other states by other governors? Well, you know, I'm not going to read about that. We know South Carolina did. Why does North Carolina need any state law practicing them from? All right, y'all can read the rest. The rest of it is it's more of opinion, or he's answering questions that don't deal specifically with the law or with the law in general. You can read the rest. Again, this was Rick Glazier under the issues of worker rights, because that's who it affects the most. It's workers. And he is the executive director of the North Carolina Justice Center. I mean, there's just so many lessons to be learned from here. Just the sliminess and just how slick white supremacists are with their codes and their words and passing laws. And then, you know, the issue of, well, what do you do when you have fascists in office like that? Well, you know, some people say that, you know, voting isn't an answer to the problem. Others who say that it is, but then, you know, they don't take the right to vote serious. Not that they don't vote, but they don't make sure that it's a transparent, secured process so there can be no cheating. That the vote is what it really is, and not because it's been electronically flipped, in which we've been victims of that before here in North Carolina, and now they have a paper ballot. But that's on us, man. That's on us. If we don't step up and we demand that. But again, even if I'm just expressing to these racists, it only take me 5 minutes to go vote. You know, I live in a sparsely populated area, so it don't take me that long. So I do understand it is a commitment, you know, or a sacrifice of time for some people where they live to vote. But it's no big deal for me. I'm 5 minutes, I'm in, I'm out. And it's important that I let these racists know that I'm watching what they're doing and I'm in opposition to what they're doing. And it might come down, as I was discussing with family members, man, I might have to run for state office. I don't want to, but, you know, something got to be, these races got to be opposed in all areas of people activity. You can't concede any ground. Because then, I mean, what, you know, this really harms people in all nine areas. This really, you know, harms people. And the majority of the people, well, I don't know. I haven't conducted a poll. But the people that I have heard express support for this bill only talk about the bathroom portion. when you could be all, I mean, North Carolina was already a right to work state where an employer could fire you for and not even give a reason. So, I mean, really, this is like overkill, but, you know, a white supremacist has to express himself. What's the point of accumulating power if you're not going to express your white supremacist tendencies through, you know, passing laws and updating the slave codes and all of that? What's the point of accumulating their power? So they just couldn't resist themselves. They didn't even read the state constitution where this violates stuff. So I will look at the state constitution and why this should not stand. And these people got to go because they are enemies of the state. They swore oath to the constitution. They should be arrested right now, thrown in jail for their treason and openly disrespecting the supreme law of the land. If we want to talk about law and order, the constitution is the supreme law of the land. How you gonna pass a law, you know, that is in contradiction to the Supreme Court Constitution? They're wasting our time, wasting our money. But then again, you know, when you got racists that's also in the judicial branch, who's to say they won't allow this to stand? Now we're talking about war. Now we're talking about war. Now you're pushing people to take up arms for their freedom. For their freedom from discrimination, from their freedom from racism, from their freedom for, you know, from sexism, ageism. Tyrants have to be opposed, as Frederick Douglass said, the limits of tyrants are prescribed, or the limits are set by how much the people willing to take. Don't think that you can just sit wherever it is that you sitting right now and they be passing slave codes like this and it ain't never going to affect you. Again, you don't have to vote. But if you participating in the only lawful that they have, you know, deemed lawful economy, you still funding it. And if you paying taxes, you should be more, you know, feeling like, man, this is being done in my name with my money. I didn't vote for this. I don't even vote. And I'm being forced to pay for racism and white supremacy. The enforcement of racism and white supremacy. Man, I'm so full of self-respect that I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to do whatever I have to do by any means necessary to counter this. Section 19 of the North Carolina Constitution, I provided a link, says the law of the land. The law of the land, that means there is no higher. Equal protection of the laws. No person shall be taken in prison or disseized of his freehold liberties or privileges or outlawed or exiled or in any manner deprived of him life, liberty, or property but by the law of the land. No person shall be denied the equal protection of the laws, nor shall any person be subjected to discrimination by the state because of race, color, religion, or national origin. As you might have noticed, it said nothing about gender. So the North Carolina Constitution, Section 19, doesn't even protect women. So that aspect of the bill is constitutional. It doesn't say anything about gender. So that a judge could interpret that to say, you know, it doesn't provide for LGBT protections. This is what our state constitution says. But on race, color, your religion, and national origin, it says they can't deprive you of that. And that's what HB2 does. Again, don't take me citing the facts and what law is as to say that I'm for the mistreatment of people based on whatever classification for what they call it, LGBT community or whatever. I don't believe in mistreating nobody. I wouldn't discriminate against anybody myself. I just wouldn't do that. Goes against my belief. Doesn't mean I gotta agree with how they live in their life, because there are a lot of things, people that I deal with that I don't necessarily agree with aspects of how they live in their life, but I don't discriminate against them. I'm not condoning oppression against them. So, it's simple when you break it down to it, when you just break it down to justice versus non-justice, as I've heard Mr. Neely Fuller suggest. That right there alone invalidates much of this. But again, if nobody challenges it in law, in the courts, then this law stands. If the courts, the Supreme Court of the North Carolina judicial openly says I'm a racist by ruling to allow these laws to stand, like I can't read English, like I don't comprehend what the Constitution said, because again, they break their own laws, they don't obey their own laws, that's why I don't give a damn about no law and order when all we have is lawlessness and disorder by the people appointed to so-called, you know, practice justice. So again, this is why I say this affects all nine areas of people activity, because I'm gonna tell you what, I'm not leaving North Carolina. That would be a dishonor to my ancestors and everybody else who lived in this racist state and literally fought off the Klan to keep their land. I'm not going nowhere. So this means war. That's what this means. So again, I may be forced into politics. If this the path that they want to take, the people of North Carolina, I might be forced to run for state office. Because a message has to be sent. I don't believe in passive opposition. I believe because, you know, passive, just you just being pushed around. You allowing them. Again, this goes back to when the first slave codes was enacted after the American Revolution, after up to one third of the American or the Continental Army, black people, free and enslaved black people who were promised freedom. They didn't sacrifice and help you repel the British. You would still be a colony and would have been defeated without black guns. And then you start practicing racism. Why didn't those black people, those black guns, then be turned on the racists when they started, you know, practicing racism through codes and laws? I don't understand that. Y'all just got through fighting a war to establish liberty and freedom. When them racists like Washington and Jefferson and the ones at the state level, the governors and all of that, and they start, man, y'all, it should have been a second revolution right then and there. I was not raised to be a slave. I have not been conditioned to be a slave. So I don't think like a slave. And this is like a declaration of war. These people are telling you exactly who they are. And they only came to power because the majority of the people who do participate as voters in the state, they didn't do it through voter fraud or anything like that. That you know, wasn't the case. But people just simply stayed home. And then the racists took power, and this is what we get. So again, whether you voted or not, you're still paying for it. This affects even your ability to earn income for your family. This is very serious. It's not being treated serious. I don't have anything else to say. Nobody else has anything to say on it. But again, this is why we have to do our own research. We can't just be tuned in to CNN and here you got Anderson Cooper or what's the black gay guy name? I forget his name right now, but y'all know who I'm talking about. And then they're just focusing on HB2, you know, from the bathroom aspect and how it harms gay people, and they're never bringing up how it harms everybody. It harms everybody in the state. Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe from the discrimination. It's like a discrimination free for all in this state on this based on this legislation. Come on. So we just can't go off of the what they want us to focus on, the headlines they want to focus on. We have to actually use the dang on internet and pull the bills up. Man, they didn't say that all this was in there. Of course they didn't. Because they knew by you being, you know, brought up in a certain community and might have certain religious beliefs, that if they only talked about the aspect in terms of homosexuals, that you wouldn't take it serious, you wouldn't be that concerned about it, and therefore there would be no opposition to it except for by gay people and whatnot. But then, you know, come to find out, oh man, my cousin got fired last week. Why did they fire him? What reason did they give? They said that Negro was too black. No, man, you kidding? How can they get away? He was too black. What do you mean? Well, they said some of the customers was offended by the charcoalness of his skin, and they fired him. What? How they do that, man? Well, HB2, man. Didn't you read the text of HB2? Man, how did they do that? That ain't right. Well, it's too late now. The code is in place and it's being enforced. See, this is again why I talk about slave patrols. I appreciate that black woman who's a cop and her reasons for joining a cop or being a cop. And I appreciate her honesty about, you know, there are too many young black kids killing each other and she's seeing the bodies. But she said that's not an excuse for police officers to be murderers because the criminals did not take an oath of office to serve and protect. But then when you are, again, enforcing these racist codes, then is that why you joined? No, you didn't join for that reason. Are you trying to change it from the inside? Are you using discretion to say, you know what? I don't think people should even be fined or let alone go to jail or prison for some doggone cannabis. I'm not, man, look, you need to be careful out here, you know. You jaywalking and what, and then you got cannabis in your pocket. Youngster, put this cannabis back in your pocket and stop jaywalking and be about your way. You know, see, they're not using that discretion. They're enforcing the slave codes, which leads to what? The world's largest prison population, prison slave population. But these people in North Carolina that passed this bill got to go. They got to go, man. They are in violation. I'm talking law here. I'm talking law. They got to go. It even violates Section 13, religious liberties. All persons have a natural and inalienable right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own conscience. And no human authority shall in any case whatever control or interfere with the rights of conscience. See, so if a person here with a bakery and they don't want to make no cake with, you know, two men on top of, they had that right according to the Constitution. They don't have to pass new laws or anything, or, you know, because they have a conscience. That's their religion. And I don't believe in forcing people to act against their conscience. I can find somebody else to make my cake or whatever. But then what if they practice, what if their religion is is racism and white supremacy? So I tell you, man, words are very important, because guess what? Words make up laws. What are laws? Laws are the enforcement of these codes. And they have enforcement officers that will strip you of your liberty and put you into slavery. So this very important issue in the media, and even some of these human rights organizations have done a very poor job in educating the public, because so many people across this land think that here in North Carolina it's just about the freaking bathroom. It's not. It's about racism and white supremacy. It's about, you know, the mistreatment of women. It's about mistreatment of immigrants. It's about mistreatment of damn everybody. Everybody has a reason to be opposed to this bill. Man, this is how tyranny gets enacted. Tando radio show will be on at 6 o'clock p.m. Let me just double check on that. Let me log in to the board as I do help with the engineering duties of that program. Let me just make sure that Tando radio show's coming up at 6, because I'm ready to end things here. Got a lot of work to do behind the scenes. Yes, Tando radio show will be on air at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, discussing current events in the week and review. So make sure you keep it locked right here on Black Talk Radio Network. As I conclude this, the key thing I want you to take away from this is that do your research before you comment on something that's in the media, especially if it's concerning law, people activity of politics and law, and make sure you're fully informed before you express support or, you know, disagreement with a bill. The majority, you know, the people of North Carolina did not vote for any of this. This was not, because I heard, you know, Mr. Fascist Frank Garcia today say that, you know, majority should rule, mob will rule. And the buzzwords about, see, because the minorities is complaining, they going to overturn this, or the NBA is trying to pressure and bully the North Carolina state government. And see, he a racist, man. See, in his mind, when they mentioned discrimination, like we mentioned, I called in and mentioned it. Another caller called in and mentioned it. When racists hear discrimination in their brains, they automatically think white on black racism, and they're okay with that. They're okay with that. But see, he has a daughter, and if one of us had mentioned about the, you know, they can just fire women or demote them or transfer them because somebody don't want to be around women or whatever, you know, that's okay, then we'll see I bet he will be changing his tune. But I don't know. Maybe he does believe in the oppression of women, including his own dang on daughter. I don't know. But the key thing is that we you know, get caught up in emotionalism, being manipulated by the media, and we don't even have all the information. That's my key takeaway, is get the information. Because these white supremacists are very good at their job. So that means that you have to be just as good in your counter-racist efforts. And counter-racism isn't based on gathering intelligence and new information is not going to cut it. It's just not. These people stay refining the ways they practice racism. You have to stay refining the ways you practice counter-racism. All right. I will be back on air. I think that would be Monday, because today is Friday. So I'll be back on air Monday with another broadcast of Black Talk Radio News from behind these enemy lines of USA Inc. It's a battlefield out there. All right. Wars being waged. And if you don't want to be a casualty, then you got to be fully informed and fully aware. Peace and blessings to all.